All right, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to once again another rousing edition of the international popular Ira Kaufman podcast, featuring none other than the custodian of Canton, the formerly known king of, I will not say your hometown. What else we got? The Wizard of Whoopi. There's another title of nobility I'm missing here.
Well, you know,
custodian king of Newport. No, I can't say that. And
the Titan of Tailgate Sunday.
Okay, there you go. Titan of Tailgate Sunday. The one and only Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you? You're not doing so well today, are you? There's something under your skin.
We're here at One Buck Place, Lee. We're here at One Buck Place, and this is going to go out to Buck Nation.
You're agitated right now.
If Buck fans want a calm, rational, dispassionate analysis of where the Bucks stand at the middle of the season, don't bother listening to the rest of this podcast.
You're not going to get it.
I'm agitated. I'm off balance. I'm off my beam, off my rocker.
Beet salad, Ira. Beet salad.
Lee, we got to look at the big picture. We can't be so...
I don't watch those kind of movies.
We can't be so beaten down, so battered, and so numb that we can't stand here and say, what the hell's going on here? This team is 2-6. They're done.
Like Vince Lombardi?
You know,
What the hell's going on?
I'm going to repeat a line, and you were right there. And I asked Bruce Arians this question. Here was my question. Coach, it's not like you're used to being 2-6 at the midpoint of a season. By the way, in fact, he's never been 2-6 at the midpoint.
Not even at Temple?
I think 3-4-1. 3-4-1 in Arizona. So then I said, are you stunned at where you are? And you heard his answer. I'm not stunned. I'm pissed. And you know what? I'm jumping right on that. I'm pissed too. Lee, this is unacceptable. A 12th straight year when this franchise doesn't matter. No important games in late December. No games at all in January. Lee, this is the league that pounds its chest with some justification about how there's 3, 4, 5 new playoff teams every freaking year. Every year, two teams go from last in the division to first. Lee, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen around here? And I'll tell you what's getting really scary. And I mentioned this in my column. I'll throw it out at you. They had a 14-year drought, the curse of Doug Williams. Lasted 14 years. It included Tony Dungy's first season in Tampa when they went 6-10, but finished strong and set the stage for a big 97 season. 14 straight years of losing football. Had it never happened before, and it's never happened since in the 100-year history of the NFL. That's how bad those 14 years. 14 straight losing seasons. It's never happened for any other franchise, but it happened to the Bucks. Lee, we don't have 12 straight losing seasons here because they were 10-6 and they were 9-7, but it's 12 straight non-playoff seasons. We're approaching Doug Williams territory, and this team's only been around for 43 years. You're going to have two stretches like that for a friend? What I'm saying is, boy, it takes a lot to be a loyal Bucks fan. I got to salute these people, Lee. I do.
Well, to add to that, make people want to chug a bottle of Pepto-Bismol even more, didn't they expand the playoffs since that 14-year stretch? When did they expand the playoffs?
Maybe 78, maybe 70.
It's been that long?
It might have been that long.
Okay.
But, Lee, it's unacceptable. We have to look at the big picture. It's unacceptable. They go through coaches. They go through players. Now, you want to blame ownership? Ownership's got to take their share of the abuse. They got to take it. They're the common denominator. But I'm focusing on bad drafting. I don't think you can get around it. It is what it is. And when you draft poorly for 2, 3, 4, 5 years in a row, you cannot overcome that. It's a crippler. It'll kill you. Well, in any sport, it'll kill you.
Well, here's what threw gas on that fire. And I know
because the young guys are the cheap guys.
Yeah, I know when I start this, people are gonna moan, and not in a good way. Not like, you know, Rachel Watson gonna moan. And they're gonna like, oh no, here he goes again. Bad drafting, on top of getting rid of good players. Look at the upheaval this team had.
That's a good point.
When Lovie Smith came here, they had bad drafts, and then you couple that with the few players they had that were good, he unloaded.
So you squeeze another 5 years out of Aqib Talib, right? Good season.
Talib, Michael, although Michael Bennett wasn't a love you move, Revis, Donald Penn. You know, people scream about Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith wouldn't be here if Lovey didn't get rid of Donald Penn. I mean, we can go on and on and on. It created a domino effect.
And Lee, another domino. You miss on draft picks, you try to make up for it in free agency.
Yes.
You're overpaying, and you're taking somebody else's reject. Once in a while, you get a diamond in the rough in free agency. Most of the time, you end up disappointed.
Well, you know what? And that's what they're going to have to do with the secondary next year. That's what this team, you know, I don't know who's going to be here next year. I really don't.
Now, wait a minute. You asked Bruce Arians today.
Yeah.
At the trade deadline, did you think about making a move for a veteran defensive back? His answer, there was nobody available. I don't agree with that.
Well, he said there was no one available that was fast enough. And I still don't know if I can swallow that or not.
I don't know about fast enough. Is there somebody available that can cover somebody?
Well,
I'm not into the 4-3-5s over here.
There were two people we know for an absolute fact that were available. And for whatever reason, either the Bucks turned there.
Could have been salary.
Well, you know what? The secondary is, here's the thing about the secondary. If they didn't notice at the trade deadline that this secondary was sorry, this organization has bigger problems than just the one loss record. They really do. Could have been salary, but you shed someone else or you trade someone else. Just because you trade for someone, you add on the salary, doesn't mean you can't trade someone else and get rid of a salary.
You know, Lee, for the second straight year, maybe even longer, but at least second straight year, they're wasting a lot of good offense. They score points. This team scores points.
I know.
And it's not all garbage points. Some people say, well, sometimes, once in a while, in the last 2-3 years, you know, Winston's padded some stats and... But
in some games,
that doesn't happen on a regular basis right now. They are scoring points. And when you're up 28-10 on the Giants in the second half, even if you go to sleep a little bit in the second half, you should win that game.
Yes.
You should win that game against a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
You should win that game.
That's shameful what they did, how they collapsed. Shameful. So and I'm just going to throw out two names right now. I don't know if they're fast enough, but you can't tell me they couldn't have helped with the secondary. Either one of them, both would have been... You know, manna from heaven. But, and I wrote about this
Marcus
Monday.
Marcus Peters,
one. I understand he's a knucklehead. I get that. But you don't think, can he cover better than Jamel Dean? I would suggest yes. I get it. He's a knucklehead. I totally understand.
And when
he
gets his hands on the ball, he catches it.
Yeah. And he can, you know, bring it to the house, too, which the Bucks saw firsthand. So Marcus Peters another one, and I was watching that Colts-Steelers game thanks to NFL Sunday Ticket. There was Minkah Fitzpatrick. Okay, he would have cost a first-round pick. If that guy re-entered the 2020 draft, you tell me he wouldn't cost a first-round pick? And, oh, by the way, he might get you wins.
I think he's going to make the Pro Bowl this year.
Holy cow. And no one could tell me those two guys, either one of them, would not have helped this. I suggest that they're one good defensive back away from a playoff run. One of those two guys in this lineup, I dare say the Bucks are in a playoff run. I really believe that. And so when, you know, they say, well, you know, there wasn't a guy fast enough or no one's available there, that borders on irresponsibility, and some would say negligent. Because if you cost your team a chance to make a run for the playoffs, because for whatever reason, whether it was pride, whether it was miscalculation of talent, that you didn't go out and get help, I'm sorry, that's negligent.
You know,
that's negligent.
You know, the more you think about it, Lee, while you were saying that, there might be some merit in this. I mean, you don't want to pick on only one part of a team, but the offensive line's played better than it has. The running game is better than it's been, mostly because of Ronald Jones. They're still throwing the ball all over the lot, even without Adam Humphries. Godwin's outstanding, and then Evans is a monster. They're scoring 28 points a game. The front seven on defense isn't bad, especially with JPP back. They're getting some pressure. They hit Wilson 11 times. That's a good number.
And that's a mobile
Jameis
quarterback.
Jameis got hit 3 times.
Yeah, and that's a mobile quarterback, Russell Wilson.
So, and the kicking game settled down.
Somewhat.
So, you might not be wrong. They might be a secondary away from being a decent team, being an 8 or 9 win team.
I truly believe the last couple weeks, I truly believe this team is not far away. And I hate to say that, but the secondary is dragging the entire organization down. It's dragging the organization. You know, when Arians got up and was talking about the referees a few weeks ago, and he said that will get people fired, this secondary will get people fired.
All right, here comes Arizona, Lee. A team that doesn't scare you too much with their pass offense. So in that regard, it's not a terrible matchup for what the Bucs present defensively. Am I wrong to suggest Kyler Murray's done it as much damage with his legs as he has with his arm this year? He's dangerous.
I don't know that he has. I only watched one game. He really didn't do a lot with his legs, but he is quick as lightning, though.
And you know what he doesn't do? Make a lot of mistakes.
No turnovers. Four
interceptions.
Yeah.
And as a team, which is remarkable.
You told me this earlier. I couldn't believe it.
They don't have a lost fumble.
That's through six games or seven games?
Eight games. They don't have half the season's gone. They don't have a lost fumble.
That's incredible.
So they have four giveaways. Four. The Bucs.
A rookie quarterback. And the Bucs
have plenty. But Arizona, you know, Larry Fitzgerald is well past his prime. You know, he's good, but he's not the old Larry Fitzgerald.
Does he miss Arians, you think?
A little, but I mean, he's got so many years of football. You know, he's not the same player he was when he was playing for Arians.
Not a lot
physically.
Not a lot of tread on the tires.
Not a lot of tread. They don't have that much else. The running game is okay. You know, their running back used to be the number one pick in the fantasy league. Now he's a shell
of
himself.
Dolphins? Oh, David Johnson.
Yeah, David Johnson's a shell of himself, you know, through no fault of his own with the injuries. So Murray's their leading rusher. You know, that's what happens. You know, the quarterback ends up being a leading rusher on a team. I'll tell you one guy that concerns me a little bit. The guy never gets any pub. He's one of the best pass rushers in football. Mm. Nobody ever talks about him. Chandler Jones.
Yeah, he does.
Is a heck of a pass rusher.
Yes.
He's going to get another 15 this year. He's got about 9. And they pried him away from New England, and Belichick doesn't make a lot of mistakes, but that has not been a bad deal for Arizona. He's been very productive.
Wasn't the reason he was traded, wasn't he making some noise about his contract? And
probably.
Yeah.
You know,
and Belichick thought of him, I guess, as a...
He's not worth the trouble, and, you know. But that's a good pickup for Arizona. They got Patrick Peterson. I asked Arians today, do you think he'll shadow Mike Evans? Look, you either got to shadow Mike Evans with a Patrick Peterson, or you got to double-team Mike Evans. I mean, we've seen the proof of that the last 2 weeks. You can't throw an ordinary cornerback one-on-one with Mike Evans. You're going to get killed.
I got to ask you something while you brought up Evans, and I know you're going to bring up Godwin. Peter King... of, you know, Scone Loathing of NBC Sports. He wrote
Beer-swinging Peter King. That's right.
Coffee slurping. Monday morning, he wrote, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I never thought I would write this sentence. This is Peter King. I never thought I would write this sentence. Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the best 1-2 punch in the NFL.
I think he's right. I absolutely think he's right. Hopkins doesn't have a guy like that in Houston. Will Fuller's always hurt. Michael Thomas doesn't have anybody like that in New Orleans. And Thomas is fantastic.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. You know.
What about the Falcons?
No. First of all, Jones, I don't think Jones is as good as Evans. I think Evans is better than Jones.
Is that right?
I do. They don't have a second guy like Godwin. Godwin's a stud on a lot of teams. Lee, and you notice, he'd be the number one guy.
Oh, sure.
You know? But clearly, he operates in Evans' shadow. But to say that, the first 6 games of the year, he was more productive than Evans. Now, as a result of Godwin's productivity, teams have decided, you know, wait a minute. We can't handle Godwin with one guy. We got to settle down here. So Evans gets off. Mm-hmm. You know, they got a great thing going with Godwin and Evans. They get along great. They don't care who gets the credit. This team, I'll say it again, they're wasting a lot of offense.
Yes.
They wasted 29 first downs at Seattle. Now, Seattle doesn't have a great defense, but they're decent.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucs went up and down the field against Seattle all day long. We'll see what happens when Arizona comes in. Now, Lee, facts are facts. They don't have a home win this year. They've only played 2 home games. They should have beat the Giants. But how many times can we say should have and would have with this team?
Well, this team, since in the post-Chucky era, no NFC team has a worse home record. So they're playing to form.
What kind of crowd you expecting Sunday?
I know you're not expecting
I'm
any.
I'm not expecting much.
I'm sort of, I won't say I'm the opposite of you.
And I think the weather's going to be very good.
Yeah, the weather's supposed to be nice. And so I think that will actually, I don't know, increase is the right word, but it will soften the blow from this lousy record. from no playoffs once again.
I don't think we're going to hear a lot of Arizona fans in the crowd. I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think because they're lousy. Unless there's a bunch of Oklahoma City
fans. Hey, at least the Bucks are not being mentioned in all these London rumors. You're hearing about the Chargers. And I think it's a non-story. I don't think it's going to happen anyway. You're hearing about the Jaguars. And you're hearing about the Chargers. Thank God we're not hearing about
that. Well, that's why, you know, the previous podcast years, that's why I kept asking about the fan attendance. When you had Shad Khan, the Jacksonville owner, you know, he's got interest, business interest in Jacksonville. And they always play, Jacksonville always plays over in London. And then he comes up and says, Jacksonville cannot economically support an eight-game home schedule. There we go.
That's right.
So that's why I was trying to get you like way in here. They're not drawn. They're drawn about the same as the Bucks. But I'll throw one at you that Mike Florio rhetorically asked. Now I got to go back and read what he wrote.
The guru of pro football talk.
Yes, the creator, curator, and overall guru of profootballtalk.com, Mike Florio. He said this, then he wrote this. Now I have to go back and see what he said, hear what he said, and read what he wrote. Who's planting all these stories
he's
about the Chargers?
He's suggesting it's coming from the Rams organization.
Mm-hmm.
Kroenke and his, and is a guy that used to work for the Bucks, Kevin Demoff.
Yeah.
He's a big wig with the Rams organization. Yeah. I think he's the president.
Yeah.
So that's the suggestion from Florio.
And here's one for fans. Who is Kevin Demoff's father?
Marvin Demoff.
And who is Marvin Demoff?
He was a famous agent. Very
one
successful.
Of the biggest famous agents there was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he represented Marino, Elway.
Big time agent.
Jim Kelly too, was it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, huge. He used to be a huge
agent.
Why
can't he represent me, the company?
Well, you got his phone number.
Now, Lee, hold on. I'm not
finished.
You
know how to get on with Kevin Demoff.
I am not finished.
He's on Twitter.
I'm not finished with this secondary.
I am.
And neither are Buck opponents, apparently. Lee, tell me if I'm off base here. You know, look, Arians likes to talk up the potential of Jamel Dean. Bunting has now come under the Arians umbrella. He likes the guy. He never seems to say anything about Hargraves. You notice that?
Because he's done.
He never says anything about Hargraves.
He's not coming back. We've heard before that Carlton Day was
the best corner. He's your veteran back there.
He's not getting the job done. We've heard before Arians refer to Carlton Davis as the best corner. Carlton Davis is hurt. We've since then heard Arians say Sean Bunting is the best corner.
And he likes Dean.
Yeah, well, if you're the worst corner on the worst secondary and you're the option for the Bucks to cut your ties loose at the end of the year is fast approaching, he's got, what, six more home games left? Four more home games left? He's not coming back because if the Bucks bring him back, he's $9 million. The worst corner on the worst secondary, $9 million, he's not worth $9.
Now, Lee.
Not like the guy, but facts are facts.
Lee, I got a man who's growing on you.
No, he's not.
Not like a fungus, but he's growing on you.
Okay.
And you know what? You're a big man, and you're big enough to admit it. He's starting to make a difference, and you're starting to change your... His name's Devin White. He's growing on you.
A little bit, yeah. He had a better game.
You're noticing Devin White.
Yeah, I still wouldn't have drafted him number five. And by the way,
Josh Allen's having a nice season.
Yeah.
He's having a nice season.
And Brian Burns, too. But, he's coming around. He didn't have a great game. He had an okay game. It was fun. It was fun, though, to see him. I can't remember who it was. He chased down and stripped the ball. Unfortunately, the ball went out of bounds. But he missed the tackle to begin with. So that's why he chased the guy down. He's playing better.
Chris Carson.
Yeah,
Chris Carson.
He's playing better. And Arians said today that, hey, when a rookie misses 2 or 3 weeks, it's hard for him to catch up.
I think that's fair.
Now, some people say, oh, it's Arians making an excuse, but I think that's fair.
And he had a tough little injury there, you know.
Knee injury, yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know. So he's playing a little bit better.
But Hargraves is done. I cannot imagine them bringing him back. I can't. And I don't have anything personally against him. I like him. I've been trying to talk to him for a couple weeks because, well, he's an intelligent guy, and there's some information he has I want to get. But he's not coming back. There's no way. I read on Twitter where someone said Light's going to have to make a big, quote unquote, big decision on Hargraves.
There's no big decision.
No, it's a no brainer. He's not coming back.
The big decision is about number three. Now, Lee, here's a guy who's playing good football, and he's healthy, and I think he's going to end up being a good draft pick. Vita Vea is a good football player, Lee.
Yes, he is.
He's a good football
player. Yeah, the people that are still crying about not Minka Fitzpatrick, the guy from Florida State.
Derwin James.
Yeah.
Who's a good football player.
Yeah, I'm shocked I forgot that name. Everybody screams about him. They need to check themselves because this Villa, by the way, Villa is a significant cog in the NFL's number one run defense and the number 10 pass quarterback pressure defense.
He's not going to get 14 sacks. He's not going to be Warren Sapp, but he does his job very well.
Blockers, man. That guy eats up. He takes on two blockers like nobody's business.
He is a big part of this rush defense.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it's worth mentioning, Lee. You know, how do you measure the secondary? Well, Lee, when you got the number one rushing defense and your secondary still stinks, that's you got big problems.
Well, like I told Jeff Cameron on Scuttlebucks when he interviewed me earlier today, you have the number
checks in the mail, DeCamper. Yeah. Checks in the mail.
You have the number one rush defense. You have a top 10 disruption defense, quarterback disruption. That's NFL films. It's not Irish dudes in a dorm in Dublin.
And you got a big-time scoring offense.
Yeah, but when am I getting at the defense? Yeah. Number one rush defense. The last I checked, which was last week, I haven't seen this week's yet. Last week, number 10 disruption for quarterback disruption. That includes pressures. That includes sacks, of course. And it includes hits. And the Bucs are number 10. So you have that good of defense. What do defense coaches always want to do? They want to make you one-dimensional. So here it is. You've got the front seven is doing excellent. They're doing excellent. And you know what the other team's going to do. You know it. And they still can't stop them.
So they're always in third and six, the other team. It's third and six. Stop them.
They know it's coming, and they still can't stop them. That's how bad these guys are. That is really bad. Here's one for you, Ira. You talk about different players. I saw someone today that, you know, I had heard that Tampa Police had an APB on him.
Who is it?
Justin Watson. He lives. I talked to him. He's a real, it's not a ghost. I talked to him.
Can't get on the field.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, Scotty Miller has no business on an NFL field unless he's going to paint the stripes at 50-yard line.
Now, we don't see him in practice league. We don't know his practice habits. You know.
Have we seen him enough in games? Have we seen him screw up enough in games is what I should ask.
No, but I'm saying Scotty Miller. We
yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, well, you can't tell me Justin Watson's any worse. What?
Yeah. I think the O-line, Lee, I talked to Marpet a little bit.
I saw you.
He's down. And how could he not be? He's depressed.
Justin?
No, Marpet. He's depressed.
About losing?
Yeah, about the losing. It's getting to him. Not that Hobart is a game wrecker over there, but all you can do is keep your nose to the grindstone. Yeah. I mean, what else can you do? You've played sports. I've played sports. If you come up empty, you know you can't throw your hands in the air and call it a season. But Lee, on this podcast,
you know what? That's a great point. You give me a flashback to 30 years ago when I played high school football.
You played pickleball or something.
We had a pretty good football program. And this one year, my senior year, early in the season, we had just a ton of injuries, bunch of injuries to safeties, bunch of injuries to offensive line. We wound up with a losing record. I think we finished 4-5. But halfway through the season, we knew we were out of the play. Pretty much back those days, if you lost more than two games, you're done. And we lost two games early.
So you're trying to win the district, right?
You win your conference. Well, we knew we couldn't win the conference, and then usually the conference champion wouldn't go to the playoffs. We knew we couldn't do that. But there was a sense of pride that we had. Like, man, we don't want to let our coaches down. We don't want to let our teammates down. And so we still busted our tail, even though there was no tomorrow, so to speak.
I saw a little pride in Seattle on Sunday. Yeah. I thought the Bucs were going to get their ass kicked. Didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen.
They played one of their best games of the year.
Yeah, and I'll mention this again on your internationally popular podcast. I mentioned it Monday or Tuesday's podcast. I'll mention it again today. And I mentioned this on Cameron. Cameron agreed with me. You know, I've been saying when we've going back and forth about Jameis, I said, there's no quarterback that can win with the secondary. None. And my example was, I said, the quarterback has to play perfect ball for this team to have a chance to win. Jameis made one mistake in Los Angeles. And even though the offense racked up 40-odd points, It was still a one-score game.
55.
Yeah, it was still a one-score game until Sue scooped and scored. With, what, a minute and a half to go, a minute 20 to go?
It was a one-score game.
Yeah, it was a one-score game, even though James only made one mistake. And they put up 40-some points. Same thing with Seattle. James only made one mistake.
Uno. It wasn't his fault.
Technically, no.
And
they lost. Now, speaking of mistakes, Ira, Bill Belichick the other day, you know, NFL Network's doing a lot of top 100, you know, because the 100th anniversary of the NFL. And they're doing a thing now. They're in the process of top 100 game changers. NFL. And it encompasses anything. NFL Films was part of it. That was one of the game changers, Ed Sable, who you got into the Hall of Fame. You presented them.
When they get around to Keith McCants in the top 100, let me know. Give me a call.
And they had all kinds of things. They had instant replay. They had Monday Night Football.
The merger. Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, they had Al Davis, Tom Landry, the who's who. You know it. Oh, well, one of them was Belichick as a game changer. And there was a clip. And I've seen this clip before. But they had a clip of Belichick at a team meeting. And he was saying, and I'm going off the top of my head, just remember, one stupid mistake, one stupid penalty, one screw-up ends it for all of us. Now, that Sunday game, I know we should be focused on Arizona, but that Sunday game, back-to-back plays, Scotty Miller, dude, the field is the same dimensions in college and high school. Even at Bowling Green, same dimensions.
It's a seven-point gaff.
That pulled, that pulled the touchdown off the board. The very next play, Jameis scored from about 20 yards out, that run, DeMar Dotson holding. They had to settle for a field goal. At minimum, that was 4 points. In reality, that pulled two touchdowns off the field. And then went to overtime. There's your ball game. Yeah, Jameis shouldn't have fumbled. I get that. But that directly took points off the board.
Doesn't that go directly to what,
discipline.
What Winston said in response to my question today at $1? How do you define winning edge?
Find a way.
And he talked about you never know which play is going to... You know, which screw up or which play is going to determine the game. You don't know until you look back, you know, 3 hours later. Details. He talked about the detail. The little things keep adding up. That's what's killing this team.
Yeah, when I went back to that last night, those two plays back to back, and I thought of that soundbite that Bill Belichick had. One stupid penalty, one stupid mistake, one goof up, and it ends it for all of us.
You know, Lee, here's another point.
And no more truer words were spoken.
Here's another point, and it might be the most depressing and distressing point of all. I looked at the second half of the schedule, starting with this Arizona game. They only play one team that I really consider elite, which is New Orleans. Houston's good, but not great. And that's it. I mean, they got a bunch of stumble bums. The Jacksonville's in the world. What I'm saying is, if they weren't 2-6, if God forbid they were 4-4, we'd be talking about a big, big second half of the season for this franchise. Ooh, these games are monumental. Every game's going to be big. Crowds, you got to come out and support this team. Instead, they shoot themselves in the foot at midseason, and they're done. You said the other day you got a 3% chance to make the playoffs. 2%.
Are you suggesting Ira Kaufman on this seventh day of November?
Sixth day.
Well, this will pop on the 7th. All right. You know, then God has to rest. You are suggesting on the 7th day of November, 2019, are you hinting, Ira Kaufman, for your listeners in Germany and Russia and Vietnam and the Vatican, that the Bucks could make a run and go 6-6? They could make a four-game winning streak?
No, I'm not saying that, because it's over, and they know it's over, so I don't think...
Well, like Don Rickles, it's over!
It's over. If they were 4-4, and again, you're pointing to games that they might have won, although, you know, they could have lost Carolina game in week two. They won by a point and with a great play by Hargraves, your favorite player.
That was a fantastic play.
You know, and that was a fantastic play.
And since then, he has been worth two bits.
The second half of this schedule is like it's like a row in Central Park Lake over
well,
here.
Well, what are you saying here, Ira? You said they can't go on a run. Now you're saying they are going to eat. They got to eat.
I'm saying,
spit it out.
I'm saying the run's not going to matter. Ultimately, even if they go on a run. Suppose they go 6-2. Well, it's an 8-8 season. I'm not happy with 8-8. I'm not. My expectations are higher than that, Lee. 8-8. I say go home and go play Parcheesi with 8-8. I'm not
Parcheesi.
Parcheesi. How do you like that one?
Was it something to do with Parmesan cheese?
Lee, what are the ramifications of this game? Does it matter if they're 3-5 or does it matter if it's 3-6 or 2-7?
Well, there's ramifications because they keep losing. You have to ask fairly, and I don't want to see any regime change. That's never good.
And you're not sure Arians is coming back.
I couldn't lay money on it. I don't know. I mean, you give me 80% odds, 90% odds, yeah, he'd come back. But I'm not convinced.
Could Arians come back and like get a copy of the home game? Could that happen?
Wouldn't shock me. I mean, who knows?
I thought they're tied to the hip.
Yeah, but who knows if, I don't know how to say this politely. Let's say Light gets into a hassle with one of the Glazer family members. I don't know, you know. I think they're tied at the hip, but again, would Arians stick around? Would they let Arians pick the general manager, which would be dangerous because he's not going to be around for that long? I don't know. But the more they lose, the greater the possibility something might happen.
What you're saying is when you go 2-6 in the first half of a season, especially at $1, all bets are off. Well, everything's up in the air. Winston's future. Does Arians want to come back?
Yes.
I'd be shocked if Arians was fired, but
it would not shock me.
I would be shocked if Arians is fired. I think, because they've never fired anybody after one season. Not after one season.
No, but you see what happened at Florida State? I know two different things.
Well, if Arians is gone, Light's gone.
Yeah, we're in a microwave society. Microwave, fast food, immediate. The reason why I don't know, when I said Light might go and Arians might stay, would the Glazers go up to Light and say, you picked Arians. That's your second coach. And this, let's say they go, God forbid, 3-13. Would the Glazers say, that's it. You told us to bring Arians in, and we're actually worse than we were the past 2 years with Cutter. I don't know. It's the great unknown. And I like to say this, and I've always gotten along with the Glazer family. The Glazers are predictably unpredictable. They're the ultimate jigsaw puzzle. Just when you think you got them figured out, they throw you a curveball.
Here's another layer to this puzzle, Lee, and we don't talk about it enough. Going 4-12, 5-11 has side effects. And sure. I'll tell you one of the side effects in Tampa. All of a sudden, nobody, and I mean nobody, is looking at Byron Leftwich or Todd Bowles or Harold Goodwin and in a hurry to bring them into their organization.
I don't think
so. That is the side effect. And it blows up the whole Arians theory. Hey, we're going to go 10-6. And my guys are going to be prominent over here. They're going to get interviews. Not going
to
happen, Lee.
Well, to be fair with Leftwich, and I'm not a big Leftwich guy. He hasn't.
A lot of fans are dead tired of Leftwich calling the plays.
I'm going to get to that real quick here. But I was dubious of Leftwich beforehand because I'm like, look what happened to Josh Rosen, and everybody, he was put in charge of development, and the guy, and they got rid of him right away. So I was dubious about Leftwich to begin with, and there was a report out there before training camp that the Glazer family got a little cold feet at the altar because they were hiring Arians, and they wanted Arians, but they thought they were buying Arians, and instead they were getting Leftwich. Now, Mike Lombardi, former Browns GM, he was a coffee fetcher for Al Davis and Bill Walsh and Belichick himself, and he came out and said basically what I just said. He's like, why is Brian Leftwich calling the plays? Because you're paying Arians this kind of money? He can't call the plays? And then he said, and I thought this was, he likes Arians. And I guess they're buddies. And you can't not like Arians. He's that good of a guy. But he's like, this Bear Bryant shtick, like, I'm going to coach the coaches and they'll be fine.
He goes, you mean standing in that tower over there? Bear Bryant tower?
Yeah. Lombardi even brought that up. But I didn't use that quote, but he brought that up, the tower. And Lombardi's like, that don't work anymore. If you're a head coach, you got to be involved. And so he's, and Lombardi genuinely is worried about Arians' health. He said that the officiating is so bad league-wide, and he was giving examples, and then he brought up Arians.
So the agita.
Yeah, he's saying, somebody say that again? I know what you said, but say that again.
Agita.
And that's what you usually throw up when you watch a Bucs secondary?
No, it's like heartburn. you got to get the Malox.
I thought it was bile.
Bile, that's not bad. Bile, yeah.
So anyway, he was worried about Arians' health, and he said that officiating, quote-unquote, it's driving him berserk. He's going to need help.
Well, he ain't the only head coach that the officiate. I've said, you've heard me on Mad Dog Russo, and I'm going to be on Thursday afternoon. this league used to be petrified about concussions being the end of it with the youth football and, you know, 20 years down the line. It's officiating that's the number one issue in this league. And they better address it.
Well, you make a great point. I know.
Do you hear me, Mr. McKay?
I know.
Address it.
I know we're supposed to talk about Bucks here, but that's a great, great, great point because it boils down to credibility. You know, if fans thought games were thrown, they don't give a darn about concussions because that's 20 years in the future. Should they be concerned? Yes, of course. Yeah, but concussions, that's way down the interstate. But immediate is credibility. It boils down to credibility. And people think games are fixed.
And nobody
wants them.
Or flag fest. Nobody wants to see a flag fest.
Oh, yeah, same here. Now, what's the biggest complaint you hear about the NBA? Especially the playoffs. What's the biggest complaint?
Swallowing the whistles?
No?
No. Okay. Go ahead.
People think the game's rigged.
Oh, yeah. Because of that one official, too.
Yeah.
Might have been a tip of
the
iceberg.
It was on the mob. He's mob connected, right? That's what you always hear. Now, I know Mr. Isbitz, who's producing this podcast, is a huge NBA fan, and God forbid I ever say anything negative about the NBA in his presence. He punched me. But the people that don't like the NBA, one of the things they say is, oh, it's rigged. It's rigged. And this nonsense is going on with the officiating. That's the next step. We're right there. You watch that Saints game, and that's the perfect example. That Saints playoff game against the Rams.
That's the easiest way to rig a game.
Not
a player, an official.
Yeah.
Swallow your whistle or make a bad call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lee, we've come to that time. We got to make our picks. I'm on a two-game winning streak. Lee, I'm going to go first here. And why am I on a two-game winning streak?
I give up. Why?
Because I picked against the Bucks, and I am a man of the people, and I heard from too many Bucks fans, Ira, stop picking the Bucks to win. You're an unbelievable jinx. So I listen, you know, and I'm not too old to learn. So, Lee, I guess what I'm saying is, in search of my third consecutive victory, I am going to pick your Arizona Cardinals to beat your Tampa Bay Bucks. How do you like that, the Kemper?
Wow.
24-21 Cardinals.
Wow.
How are you going to top that, Lee?
That's going to be tough. Let me have something here. Steve's going to edit this out. Steve emailed me what he was going to pick, and damn if I can find this stinking thing. I read it.
Well, he could add his own, right?
He told me to read it.
You're having trouble finding stuff today.
Yeah. Did I delete that by accident? Trash. No, it's not there. I don't know where the heck it is. Oh, I bet he texted it to me.
There you go.
Yes, okay. So, here we go, Steve. All right, now, Mr. Isbitz.
I just picked the Cardinals.
Mr. Isbitz, who's producing this podcast.
He's on a four-game winning streak, Isbitz.
Oh, he's a gambler, and he's a gambler. He's on a hot streak. And Steve is picking. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Your Arizona Cardinals, 24. Your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 22. And Steve said he watched Arizona against the 49ers last week, and he came away impressed with the Cardinals, even with the rookie quarterback. And he thinks the extra time off, you know, they basically had a second bye. It was a Thursday night game. They didn't play this past weekend. We'll make it even better. And that reminds me, I'm going to bring this up. We're not done yet, and I'll say my picks. We're not done yet. You know what's driving Steve wild? Absolutely wild. I'm not quite there where Steve's at, because I think this has a kernel of accuracy. Steve is going bananas, Ira. He thinks Arians brought it up again today. The travel issue. Steve said, baloney. Chucky traveled just as much, and they're not losing.
4-4, yeah.
There's just way too much evidence out there that travel affects you. I don't care if you're an athlete or if you're some schlub. Travel affects you. So I can't dismiss it that that's not a factor. Now, is it an excuse because Chucky's using it? Chucky's got a better team. Is it an excuse because the secondary sucks? Well, the secondary would suck if they didn't travel whatsoever. They'd still suck.
Lee, when the league admits they screwed up, then you know they screwed up.
But Steve's issue is that this is a snow job by Arians to deflect criticism.
Well, he's good at deflecting. he's got a sharper stick saved than Vasilevsky. That's not the reason they're 2-6, but it hasn't helped, and it's kind of a unique travel schedule. But they're 2-6 because that's a 2-6 football team right now. I'm sorry.
And he did quote Parcells, didn't he? He quoted Parcells. Yeah, he did. Now, you are what you are, he said.
Are you going to hold up the buck end with this selection? Well, you've got two guys picking the Cardinals now. Don't tell me you're going to make it unanimous. Javier will drive off the road. Pete Ukulele, he'll fall off the Autobahn.
I'll be the other way around. I'll be the differing opinion here. What do they call that in the Supreme Court decisions?
You're the nonconformist or whatever.
Nonconformist, but no, in the Supreme Court decision, what is the opposite opinion, they call it?
Yeah, the you're going to be the dissenting opinion.
Dissenting opinion, okay.
And you're going to say the secondary is the reason they're going to win this game. You're not going to go that far,
no,
right?
No, I'm not that crazy. Right. I think the Arizona Cardinals, even with a rookie quarterback, Mr. Murray, they will put up 30 points.
Ooh.
But one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL will match that. They'll put up 34. And they'll finally win a home game. 34-30 bucks.
Arians wins a home game.
Arians wins a home game. Light the fireworks. Just keep JPP away.
That was very good, Lee. That was a very good ending. Light the fireworks.